Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Angela, we've got some amazing things to talk about today. The first one is, I had a little police encounter on Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw that on our preview between you and I of what we're discussing today. I'm very curious about this.
Well, and I purposely didn't lay out my hand.
You didn't put any detail on here.
No detail. Yeah. So I wanted you to be surprised.
I'm hearing it first with you folks. Yeah.
So I'm out sidewalk counseling out at the Whole Woman's Abortion Facility in Bloomington. Now, this is right off, this is just south of 494, right along the Bloomington Freeway frontage road that parallels 35W going, on the east side. And so back by the building, there is a public sidewalk and public area that parallels the parking lot and the side of the building. And there's a point there where we are closest to the front door where the women go in. And so it's our best place to try and call out, last chance to try and call out to a woman and try and save a life. And we've had plenty of times it's worked. And not only that, there are parking spaces there in the parking lot. And often enough, somebody going in for an abortion will park in one of those parking spaces. And now you've got even better, closer distance and better opportunities to talk to the women. Okay. So I'm out there. Now there's construction going on each end of this sidewalk, way at one end, and then way at the other end where we stand. The nearest point of actual construction work going on is 50 yards away. So we're in the middle between the two areas where they're doing work. No heavy equipment near us, nothing moving. There aren't even contractors walking back and forth or construction workers. I'm standing there, and we've been doing it. It's been this way for 4 weeks. And so I'm standing there, and this woman comes up to me, and I recognize her by face. She has just done a ton of interacting with the pro-abortion clinic escorts and showing great favor toward them and great disdain toward us over the past 4 weeks. And so she comes walking over to me and tells me I can't stand where I'm standing. So what's the deal? And she said, well, this is a construction zone, and this is for your safety. You can't be here. And I said, will you explain to me what the safety issue is? Because there's nothing near me. And she goes, this is a safety issue. She just kept repeating that. And then she noticed I had a camera. I got a camera pointed toward the sidewalk, the front sidewalk of the abortion facility, not the construction stuff. And she told me I couldn't have a camera on public property. Yeah, I know.
No, it doesn't work that way.
I know it doesn't. So I said, okay, you're going to
consent state in Minnesota.
You're going to have to show me, the ordinance that says I can't do this.
Right.
And so, and then she just repeated, it's a safety issue. It's a safety issue. She kept saying that. And I said, well, explain to me what the safety issue is. If you don't comply, I'm calling the police. I said, and then she starts walking away, pulls her phone out. And I said, hey, come on back. I want you just to explain to me what's the safety issue here. Well, she wouldn't. So she walked away.
Well,
she called.
She
the police.
Couldn't.
Well, yeah. She called the police. Well, I'll try and keep this as concise as I can. So while I'm assuming the police are going to come. I'm assuming she called the police at this point because she got on her phone right away and threatened she'd do it. So I text my Thomas More Society attorney guy, Andy Bath, back in Chicago, and he calls me, and on the phone he's got one of their other Steve Compton, who is another one of their attorneys, great guy. And so I'm on the phone when the police roll up with the two attorneys. So I said, hey, you guys stay on the phone with me here. I didn't put it on speakerphone. I just said, stay on the phone with me here as the officers are walking up to me. And they start talking to me. They want to know what the deal was, what was going on. And I'm saying, I don't know what the deal is. She said it's a safety violation. She never even identified who she is. I don't know who she is. Telling me I can't be here. And I said, this is, we're always here, public property, blah, blah, blah. So we had this little interaction. Really, the very first Bloomington police officers that I have dealt with who have been very professional.
Prior
to this, which is why I text my attorney right away, is because my previous interaction with 5 or 6 different Bloomington police over the last couple of years have not been, they've been terrible toward me, even when I've called the police. So, they go and talk to her with the escorts there too, the abortion escorts over there as well, all together. Then they come back. Again, they're very polite. They're very professional. And they're explaining why I can't be there because this is a construction zone. They told me that they should have posted it and it should have been marked off. And they're telling, they said they told this city employee, they identified her as a city employee without a name. Everything was verbal from her, what she was saying, with no written confirmation. And I'm pointing that out to them. And they said, well, but, you know, we're city employees. She's a city employee. We got to, you know, we got to do this. And they said, we advise you to go, not to be here and be someplace else. I said, wait a minute. When you say advise, do you really mean if I don't go, you're going to arrest me? And they said, yes. So I said, okay, I get that. So I got to walk across a public or a private parking lot to get to the other area. Are you going to walk me over there so I don't get in trouble for doing that? And they said, yes. So they were very good. They were good cops, really good ones to work with. But that's it. So then I sent, well, I did. I called the city. I ended up talking to the person who was in the know, and he sent me an email the next morning detailing the zone. And while we were still there, after the police had left, a crew from the city showed up to mark out the area finally.
Oh, so funny.
So now we can't be down there until they get done with their work, which is unfortunate because this is really the best point of contact other than the driveway for us. And so so we're going to have to hold off on that. And I got my attorneys looking at the whole thing, so we'll see how that works out. But I did not get arrested, all right?
Not this time. Maybe next time.
Well, the last time the police came out when I was out there, I called because I was assaulted by one of these escorts.
Yes, I remember that.
And the officers treated me as if I had done something wrong, and almost to the point that I thought I was going to get threatened with arrest. That's the demeanor and the behavior of the police officer was just terrible. It's like, okay, I get it. You're being bothered, you know, but what do you want me to do? Push her back? If you guys are going to do something, which I won't do anyhow, but.
Right. Yeah, I know you wouldn't. Yeah.
It's all that weird stuff that comes about with these things. So that was my fun day. You know, as I like to tell people, it's always an adventure with God when you go out and do this work. Always.
Isn't that funny? So, yes.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, we continue to keep our watch in St. Cloud at the Planned Parenthood there. We've done the training. We reported on that last week. We had 37 people that attended a training session. We've got, we're doing all our follow-up work with those that we train to get them ready to be scheduled to go out. We're going to get that place covered probably better than some of the other locations we've been covering for years. So it's looking good, but still they've yet to start killing babies in St. Cloud directly. They're still sending the women to the Twin Cities. So we keeping a close eye, keep praying. I'll tell you what, this is the biggest thing. Everyone needs to be praying for what's happening in St. Cloud. And the reason is, by the power of prayer, if they cannot hire somebody, they aren't going to be able to start committing abortions. So pray that they cannot find somebody who will take the job to do the ultrasounds for the purposes of aborting babies. And if they cannot find somebody, they got no way to start doing this. So keep praying and keep praying. And of course, pray that God move in powerful ways in dealing with that, as well as everywhere else where abortions are taking place. Please, please. Well, I found a story, Angela, I found this story, and it actually, this is old, because this story was published in March, late March of this year, and it's about something that happened on the Feast of the Annunciation, which is March 25th, okay? I should say solemnity of the Annunciation. I love the solemnity. And this is the Annunciation, of course, is the incarnation of Christ as a human being. It fully human, fully man, when Mary is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conception takes place. Okay? So this is such a powerful thing for us to understand as in the church and in so many ways, especially when we're doing pro-life work. Well, in his general audience, Pope Leo promoted an idea, an initiative that was started by Archbishop Fulton Sheen many, many years ago. And this is one where it's the idea of spiritually adopting a baby that's in threat of being aborted. And so the way it is done, you pick a date to start praying. You pray every day for that unborn child and for his or her mother and father and family, whatever the cases are with surrounding them with family and friends. And you pray for that baby. You even name the baby. And so you pray every day for 9 months. And when the 9 months are up, you start another one. Pray for another baby. One baby at a time, you pray for them like that. Well, I've got a real personal story that goes alongside with this. So both of our children that we raised are adopted. And I've shared the story about my daughter, who was actually scheduled to be aborted and was saved by one of our sidewalk counselors and then was given up for adoption to my wife and I later. So our son, who's our youngest, we had met with a birth mom just 10 days before she gave birth. She decided to adopt to us. My wife is in the delivery room. I'm standing across the hall. I get the message from the delivery room that the baby's born. It's a boy. And we had picked out names, and we looked at the kid and said, oh, that's Joseph. So we named him Joseph. And I called my mom to tell her. And I tell her, you know, we named him Joe. And she starts crying a little bit. And I'm going, well, that was so unlike my mom. Just so unlike my mom. And she said, Brian, I spiritually adopted a baby 9 months ago named Joseph.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
My mom's a prayer warrior in heaven now, but on earth as well. So just.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had
not
to.
It's hard not to get teary-eyed. Beautiful.
Yeah, I had to share it when I saw that story today. So just pray for those babies, folks. God really hears our prayers, even if we don't find out the results until we get to heaven ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Planned Parenthood has an affiliate. This is a multi-state affiliate like ours is, but this is not ours. This is, they call it Planned Parenthood Great Northwest. It includes Hawaii, Alaska, Indiana, Kentucky. I don't know why the two Midwest states, while Alaska and Hawaii, but they have announced that they are going to dispense abortion drugs, the abortion pill regimen, to women who are not even pregnant. They've decided to call, they're calling this
dangerous
just in case abortion pills is what they're calling it. Now, there are still, you know, we've talked about how the REM, as they're called, the remedial stuff that's been put into place by the FDA have been so lifted that it's almost a free for all, but there's still some in place. And one of those safety regulations is that you have to have the ability to assess the duration of the pregnancy accurately. Right. Okay. Well, you can't assess where they're at in a pregnancy if they're not pregnant yet.
If they're not pregnant, yeah.
So in direct violation of those REMS, they're planning to make these very dangerous abortion drugs available to women who are not yet pregnant. Now, we've had enough stories, and we've got a few more today, about how that gets abused, other than the harm that it is to the woman. And of course, right, it's always harm to the baby. So it's just unbelievable that they would come out and actually announce that. But, you know, if it isn't dealt with federally, it's not going to get dealt with. So that's important for us.
Well, yeah, they're forcing the hand of the government to address it. Actually, I have to say, I'm a little surprised that they are doing it so publicly instead of waiting until they're kind of discovered. It seems an interesting tactic for them.
Yeah, it's so brazen. And there's another issue here. Okay, so Planned Parenthood is broken up by affiliates. So because they're affiliates, they're part of the whole, and the whole is Planned Parenthood Federation mm-hmm. of America. And so you can't just, it isn't like they're separate organizations. They're separately incorporated in their various states or regions or whatever, but they're still an affiliate. They're still part of the whole. And because they're part of the whole, it taints the whole. So anything that they do wrong in one place, in one state, one affiliate, is basically as if the whole is doing something wrong. And when a nonprofit violates laws and regulations, they are not supposed to be eligible for federal tax dollars. Now, we've got lots of information that's been compiled over decades from pro-lifers, including judgments that have been against various Planned Parenthood affiliates with fraud and so forth, that they should not be eligible to ever receive federal tax dollars again. And so that's one of the pushes that are out there right now from the pro-life movement, is putting out this legal reality to the Trump administration with the desire that they would actually act upon that.
Planned Parenthood has been the sacred cow for so long, and I just don't see, I think they feel and know that they can kind of get away with anything. I think even though my gut is to say, well, like, wow, I can't believe how brazen they are, it's not at all surprising, because they have been enabled to be this brazen for a very long time.
Well, and well padded by politicians, elected officials,
100%
protecting them, as well as bureaucrats in governments protecting them heavily. So, well, there's a new report coming from the Charlotte Lazar Institute that is showing that that abortion businesses have been violating the Food and Drug Administration safety rules when selling abortion drugs. This report is showing that 81% of online abortion pill businesses that report their data ship drugs to women whose pregnancies exceed the FDA's 70 days gestation safety protocol. Again, verifying
that is
the
frightening
age.
But not at all surprising.
Now, this is 81% of those who are reporting this information. That doesn't mean 81% of all. Okay. Right. We're just working with or Charlotte Lazar is only working with what they know. They go on to say that none of the 18 foreign base companies are requiring identification from customers before ordering and shipping out the abortion pills. And of those, 17 send unapproved or mislabeled drugs into the United States.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Wow.
There are eight online-only organizations that are shipping abortion drugs into pro-life states in direct violation of those pro-life states' laws. Yeah. And on and on. The report is very, very damning of the entire abortion pill industry out there right now, as so many other things are.
Yeah.
And yet we're still waiting for the FDA to do their so-called thorough scientific safety review that they promised us going on almost 2 years, 18, 19 months ago, right? And more and more and more. In addition to all that, there is a pro-abortion organ called ProPublica, and they're not writing directly about the abortion pill. They're writing about foreign made drugs in a general sense, but it easily is applicable to the abortion pill, because they're talking about generic drug safety in this article.
Right.
They don't want to speak ill of killing babies. They think that's wonderful, but they're talking about how the United States is just absolutely missing oversight on these drugs that are being sent in, that are being made in India and China and being sent to the United States. They use words about it's being scary, it's sickening, and so forth. And so it's like, you know, if a woman is ordering up drugs and she gets it sent to her, let's say the abortion pill from China or from India, chances are what she's receiving is filled with other chemicals and byproducts that should never be in a prescribed medication.
Right. Shouldn't be ingested. Yeah.
So this is the type of stuff being sent from overseas. Now, in the United States, of course, the claim is that oversight is strong, and that the three abortion pill manufacturers in the United States, because a third one was added just earlier this year, that they're supposed to be clean and all that, but we still have the fact that they are being sent without without even knowing it's a woman they're sending it to, let alone a pregnant woman. And we have also that we have all these safety issues, like came out from that insurance view of what was going on with the abortion pill, that showed almost 11% of women end up with serious harm from taking the abortion pill. Of course, 98% of the babies are killed. We do have some that are being saved through abortion pill reversal and so forth. But
the landscape is not good. Yeah, I mean, the landscape is not good when you look at the abortion pill and the impact that it's having on abortion rates, the danger that it poses to women, and obviously their children who are being killed by this method. But, you know, couples, women who are in abusive situations, or there are these complications because they aren't verifying how far along she is. They're not verifying if she has any contraindications, like risk of blood clot and stroke. I mean, all of these things that would be assessed and evaluated by a provider anytime you take any sort of prescription or regimen, even supplements. You know, it's like they're supposed to be looking at those chemical interactions to make sure that they're not posing a risk to the woman. And yet there's just none of that. It's just the wild west out there in the abortion pill world.
And no doctor oversight to even know that something is happening that shouldn't be happening.
Well, and then these women are often advised when they end up in the emergency room to not tell them that they had an abortion, to say that they're having a miscarriage. And the treatment is different if you are treating for miscarriage versus an abortion. It's just frightening.
Well, a 26-year-old Bowling Green, Kentucky man has been arrested and charged with the attempt of fetal homicide after he allegedly swapped out medication for his pregnant girlfriend.
We have a story like this every single week.
We just had one last week.
I think almost every week.
Now, the report did not state that this was mifepristone, that this was the abortion pill, but it certainly looks like that's what it was. This pregnant girlfriend was on prescribed medication, and this guy swapped out the medications for something, what they said was unknown medication. They did find that same unknown medication when investigating at his place, as well as, you know, what the girlfriend had shown the police.
Right.
So another one being that. And then we've got a Pennsylvania man. It's not the only one. Got a Pennsylvania man charged with assault on a preborn child after punching the girlfriend. Now, she's 14. I think she was 14 weeks along. Maybe not quite that. But he did not want her to be pregnant. He wanted her to have an abortion. She refused to do that. So he got very aggressive, and he punched her hard several times in the abdomen. He also tried to make her drink an unknown liquid. Here we go again. She never drank it, and the report is that the baby is safe. She was 8 weeks pregnant. I'm sorry, 8 weeks pregnant at the time. So she refused, and she did not drink the liquid. We don't know if it was spiked with an abortion drug, but the way it was reported, he gave her this to get rid of the baby.
Well, yeah, he's clearly violent to her because she's pregnant. And that's another thing, too, that I feel like maybe we don't even talk about enough, but women who are pregnant, especially if they're not married, the domestic violence that they experience, the rates increase tremendously when they're unmarried women. And if they're already in a maybe emotionally abusive relationship, it often gets very physical and physically dangerous when they end up pregnant. It's very sad.
And a pregnant woman's leading cause of death is homicide.
It is. Yep. It's not pregnancy. It's not pregnancy. It's usually domestic violence and drug overdose are the two most common reasons that pregnant women die. And then cardiovascular stuff. Yep.
And I got one more story. So this is a pregnant teen who the boyfriend doesn't want her to be pregnant. He gets very angry and agitated and assaulting. This is in Arizona. They're out there, and there were two other women with the pregnant girlfriend. And he ended up pulling a gun and shooting a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 22-year-old woman. Two of them were pregnant. The one that was his girlfriend was 14 weeks pregnant at the time of her death. She was killed. The baby was killed. The other woman who was pregnant was seriously injured, but the baby was saved, though they had to have the baby born early, very premature, I think at about 25 weeks. So, but doing well for now. You're right. It's just a horrible thing going on when it comes to things like this all the time.
Well, and it makes the conversation surrounding abortion more nuanced and difficult, because there are so many in the movement who will say, like, any woman who has her child aborted, she deserves to be in prison, all this stuff. But we don't know the situation that she's in, if she's being coerced. Like, I think that this is strong evidence that we have to be more prudent and nuanced in how we talk about the women who are seeking abortions, because they are not all just evil, wicked people. They're coming from very difficult backgrounds.
Exactly. And we see the coercion sidewalks often enough.
Yeah.
We do. Yep. We see it often.
It's not every woman, but there are enough. Yeah.
You know, the guy that decides to punch me is usually the guy that is pushing her to go have an abortion.
Yes, he is. Yep.
So yeah. It's only happened a few times, folks, over the years, but it does happen once in a while to me. So, hey, we're running a little late on time here. Just real quick, California as well as New Zealand, I know one's a state and one's another country, are both showing historic lows in birth rates. Again, a result of this concept of an abortion world and the dirge on life. And then lastly, a little fun story, we've got quadruplets who just turned 1 year old. They were born.
Could you imagine that household?
25 weeks gestation. All four babies weighing approximately 1 pound. They were in the NICU for a long time after being born, but they're all doing well. They went back to the NICU with the staff that was there who cared for them for the 1 year birthday for the four children.
Oh, that is so fun.
I just love those type of
things,
because it's such heroic work, I'm sure, was done by the staff. They were in there for 200%.
Wow. So, almost a year. Wow.
So yeah, a very long time, but very, you know, there they are. They're a year old and doing well now. So
praise the Lord.
Well, let's hope. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Keep praying folks out there. Pray for an end to this insanity of killing unborn children. It's all the time we have today. Thank you. And God bless you.